Welcome to another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos. My name is Elise Stevens, and I have the fantastic Teresa Lawrence from International Deliverables. Now, Teresa specializes in creative decision making and bringing processes to life, and she is bringing about change in the way we make decisions in project management. Hello, Teresa.
Hello, it's great to be here. Lovely to be here, and hello to everyone.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now, we're going to be talking about what does creative problem solving offer project managers? And in project management, we make a lot of decisions, Teresa. As little as when should I send out those risk updates to much bigger decisions. So
oftentimes critical decisions.
Oh, I know. I do feel that sometimes that our decision-making processes can be, I think, very gut-orientated. Mm-hmm. But what is creative problem solving, and how can project managers utilize it in their work life?
Sure. So creative problem solving, Sydney Parnes, Alex Osborne, certainly the founders of this notion of creative problem solving. And what we want is we want new and innovative creativity. Everyday definition of creativity are things that are novel and useful. So inherent in a problem, we'd be seeking new ways that serve a purpose. And a problem, any kind of challenge or opportunity that faces us, and then this notion of solving it, changing ourselves, changing the situation. And so when we embark in creative problem solving, we do a couple of things. We increase our tolerance for ambiguity. We have an openness to novelty. And we have a tolerance for complexity. And so we find ourselves facing any problem really simply saying, let's first of all assess what the real problem is, right? How often in our projects, on teams, with our sponsors, with our stakeholders, do we come up against something, and to your point, right, quick gut reaction, here's what we need to do, only to find that that problem rears its ugly head the next day. And so what it is that we first would want to do is clarify the problem. What's the problem behind the problem so that we're solving the right problem? In doing so, we'll look at ways. This is the example that I often use. When a truck, we've had this happen in our area recently. We have a bridge locally in which lorry trucks, 18-wheelers, continually get stuck. They get stuck. And so the question is, what might be all the ways in which they don't get stuck? In what ways can we better use GPS? In what ways might we have different signage? And so what we want to be doing in our projects is certainly clarifying the problem. And we do that with creative questions, how to, how might, in what ways. So a couple of things in project management. We want to first be sure that we understand what the problem is. And I find increasingly with project managers, we have these personalities we must fix and we must do. And the first thing that I offer them is let's do that, but let's ensure that the first thing that we're doing is understanding what exactly the problem is that we're solving. That just takes the out of the work, right? We plan so much in project management, and we want to certainly give that time. The problem that gets identified is the problem that gets solved. So let's make sure that's the right problem that we're solving. So from a 10,000 foot view, what creative problem solving offers is clarity around the identification of what the real problems are in our project. So I'll stop there because there's other things I'd like to say, but I certainly want to tag them along to your questions.
Well, I know that especially when you're dealing with resistance to change and things like that in projects and dealing with some of the more critical people issues, I think that often we just take a very simplistic view, oh, they're just being difficult. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they adopting this change, whether it be a process change or a technology change or something like that? And I think it's because you never really – it's like being part of a family, you know, how you perceive things – from the outside to how you are in the family, mm-hmm. are two totally different things. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes, you know, we're on a deadline, we're on a treadmill to get this this thing or this process implemented, and so we don't, it's hard for us to see what's happening internally and what some of the drivers are internally, especially from a people perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I think
it made me think of one of my favorite lines, you alluded to it, is this one: it's hard to read the label from inside the jar.
Oh, that's really good.
Right? It's hard to read the label from inside the jar. And so we have this kind of narrow vision of what's going on and what needs to take place. When we use three types of thinking, when we use divergent thinking, which is really this notion of generating multiple ideas, separate from convergent thinking, where we begin to narrow in on our ideas, and certainly this notion of combient thinking, where we take and we build on ideas or we make connections to other things. When we train individuals on those three thinking tools and the techniques that we can use, what immediately begins to happen is complete buy-in, because we begin to generate a culture that says we're solutions-oriented, problem-oriented versus discussion-oriented. So we don't have that it is the project manager or the sponsor or the very loud and gregarious team member, right? He who talks louder wins, but rather what might be all the ways to fill in the blanks? In what ways might we fill in the blanks? How to do something? What we have then are multiple set of ideas. And the line that I always use when I'm training teams is that ideas don't have feelings, people do. What we want to be able to do is get ideas out there and then consciously switch from divergent thinking, the generating of ideas, to a process that allows us to hone in on ideas. And what we get through a variety of tools is that folks begin to hone in on solutions, not who said the solution, not how the solution came to be, but really saying we have many ways to go about it. This one is novel and useful, most likely something that we haven't tried before, and therefore most likely we have greater impact. What I find when I work with teams then and stakeholders from a variety of levels, I ask the question, do you feel like you were able to weigh in? Do you feel you had a part of this process? Do you feel as if the ideas were ample and the ways in which we came to consensus and solutions were inclusive, inviting, and that you can have buy-in to? Absolutely. When we work with creative problem solving, we look to identify a couple of things. First of all, where are we in the problem? Do we need to have clarification? If we have clarification, do we need to ideate around that for ideas? If we do have that, do we need to develop it further? And then in what ways do we go to implement it? Throughout all of those phases, we diverge for ideas, we converge for solutions using a variety of tools as they fit the environment. So we end up with increased team capacity, increased buy-in, and we derive at novel and useful solutions, what we call on demand, everyday creativity on demand.
Wow. That's really great. That's a really great approach. Been thinking while you've been talking about being in a meeting and saying, oh, you know, where are we in the resolution or thinking about a solution for this problem, and, you know, getting all these blank faces around mm-hmm. the table at me.
Right.
I think it's really good, but, you know, some of the language could be quite confronting for some people, especially when, as organisations, we're always quite used to making gut feel decision making. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about creative problem solving, you know, we can use one of these last tools I taught 36 agencies as part of a training collaboration was an evaluation matrix. So diverging, generating all of the things that would be criteria, converging on those things that would be important, and then really appropriately using an evaluation matrix. The thing about creative problem solving is that we don't forego what I like to call that tummy check. And it's like buying a house. You can have all of these criteria and it matches it. And you say, I hate that house. I'm not buying that house. I don't care for it. What we do want, though, is to support that with tools, a mindset, processes, that it's not so much that it levels the playing field, but more so it ups everybody's ante and draws from them their greatest and best potential. And when we can shift from, you know, from a hierarchical approach to solving problems to a 60-year vetted research process that is inclusive, that's highly engaging. What I always end up realizing from folks is that they do have consensus, but not by way of acquiescing, like fine, we'll do that. But rather, we really explored hundreds of ideas. We honed in on ones that worked. We've articulated what their essence is. We've been strategic in developing them. There's a great tool I like, PPCO, pluses, potentials, concerns, and overcoming concerns. So if we have a solution, pluses, at face value, what do we like about this idea? At face value. Potentials, if it did come to fruition, what might be all the positive spinoffs that would come of that? And then if we do have concerns, because we always have concerns, rather than just shouting them out, cost too much, it'll take too long, we ask questions like, how might we reduce cost? In what ways can we overcome scheduling? And what that just allows us to do is, in this affirmative mindset, just jump into that process of divergent thinking. Imagine if a team member comes to you with an idea and we just shut it down. But rather, we said, you know what, at least at face value, your idea of working a third shift in order to expedite schedule could really allow us to get there on time. At face value, I really like that we kind of crash our schedule a little bit there. If we did that, it might lead to some additional employability for folks in the area if we include that third shift. How might we overcome some safety issues that would come working overnight in the dark? In what ways can we secure funding from additional sources or revenue streamlines to account for this? And so imagine the team member just hasn't been shot down. They've been validated. They've been heard. The idea has been developed. And then there's also a sense of ownership and buying. So creating a project mindset, but then an affirmative judgment, one that is solution-oriented mindset rather than just staying in this conversation, talking about the work versus actually doing the work.
Do you think that that goes some way to dealing with the biggest voice in the room, you know?
One of the best tools for acknowledging that. So in brainstorming, we're all very familiar with brainstorming, stick them up brainstorming, write it in a sheet of paper, say it out loud, hand it to a facilitator. Always make sure you have a facilitator. Brain writing takes that one step further. And so then rather than being an out loud process, we use a brain writing sheet in which individuals write three ideas and then hand that around with their teammates or at a table, circulate around, and you read the ideas and you build on those ideas or you add additional ideas. What ends up happening is that you increase your idea quota exponentially. And unless you are really monitoring individuals' handwriting, it doesn't matter whose idea it was. And then when you begin to diverge, right, we tend to do our dots and selection processes, the ideas that are of value surface. So it doesn't matter if it's the owner's son or the sponsor or the loudmouth, gregarious person in the group. The beauty is that the idea wins, not the voice, not the presence, not the power of the position. And again, what it shifts us to is being solutions oriented and not person, you know, person praising, if you will. Yeah. And it's the speed with which we can come to solutions does not take long. I worked with an organization 3 weeks ago, and they were able to generate over 400 ideas in 7 minutes. Right? So we want to think about ideas as wedding photos, right? If you've ever been to a party recently or a wedding, thousands of pictures, but the bride and groom only chooses probably 2 to 5% of them. And I want folks to begin to think about ideas to face any level of their problems, like wedding photos, have a lot of them. You're limited in your solutions by the number of ideas and solution possibilities that you have. And so now the work that they were able to do is from those. We know this notion of affinity diagramming. We hit the ideas that feel good in your stomach, that resonate, that are workable. And then we cluster them. Are these ideas like each other or not like each other? And then we'll paraphrase what the essence is. And ultimately, we'll end up typically between like 4 and 9 solutions. And now we've got ones that are novel, that are useful. We can develop them a little bit further. And then we can do a card sort. We can do any number of ranking tools to say, of all of these ideas and all of these solutions that we've generated, Which ones do we want to get behind? What resistance? Who is on board? Who's not on board? Who might be all the folks that we can use to assist us with this, honing in on that? So it's this continual ebb and flow. We call it the dynamic balance in creativity, vacillating between divergent thinking and convergent thinking, and being explicitly clear that there are guidelines and that we are going to diverge and that converge, and we will never mix the two together. And we teach that as tools, as processes, as a mindset.
What does creative problem solving offer project managers?
It offers them the opportunity to be engaging, to be inclusive, and to problem solve on demand, to be everyday creative, to generate novel and useful solutions, regardless of the magnitude, complexity, ambiguity of the challenges and the opportunities that they face, to be able to be on demand, deliberately creative, and solve problems. Move on.
What tips would you give project managers about how to effectively use creative problem solving?
The main thing is honor the dynamic balance between divergent thinking and convergent thinking. So I would encourage them to become trained. They certainly, I'm hosting 3 2-day trainings and seminars world this year. So attend a conference in creativity, attend one of my sessions, learn the tools, learn them. And in that, you'll recognize that there are guidelines to diverge, there are guidelines to converge. They will become skilled in the creative problem-solving process, and they will become conditioned, like a muscle memory, to know, separate divergent thinking from convergent thinking, and then have tools, have appropriate tools, depending on where you are, who is there, at the time frame in which you have to solve that problem.
I think it's a great idea to go and get some specific training on this, but, you know, people will have trouble justifying to organizations. So what are some of the words that people can use to help sell this, that it's a great idea for you to attend this?
On the short term, I have 3 webinars on projectmanagement.com, right? The online community for PMI. So if you Google me, Teresa Lawrence, there are 3. One is about engaging stakeholders. That was in the PMO Expo a couple of years ago. One is on problem solving, and one is on this notion simply of divergent thinking and convergent thinking. So our friends out there all around the world, within an hour, they'd be able to have some baseline training and understanding, also collect a PDU, right, towards recertification. So that's good. And those workshops are free, those webinars. If they wanted to walk away with some specific jargon, they're going to want to think about divergent thinking to generate novel ideas. And then they want to think of convergent thinking to be able to evaluate, to discern from among them. Divergent thinking to generate, convergent thinking to narrow. They want to think in terms of dynamic balance. Sometimes you diverge, sometimes you converge. Never do them at the same time. Those would be my biggest things I would want them to take away.
I think that for me, my top tip would be just to think about that our normal way, well, not normal, but our
common, maybe.
Our common way of decision making is good, but perhaps we can all think about different ways to approach problem solving and investing some time in our own self-development to improve our decision making is a good way to have some skill development and improve our project management expertise.
And if you think about it, anything that you read, whether it's in the World Economic Forum, recent study on LinkedIn, even PMI themselves, that the number one desired necessary skill, creative problem solving, critical thinking, and innovation. And to all of that, to the business world, and I teach at a variety of places, I say, yes, the challenge is, how do you learn that? Where do you learn that? And so what I offer, my give back, if you will, to the industry is teaching it, is being skilled in it, being trained in it, being certified in it, to be able to say to folks, it's not this lofty thing that, gosh, you're lucky if you're born to be creative. No, you can be taught to be creative. And so if you desire trait, PMI and any of their standards. In fact, brainstorming is listed in every single one, Project Management Institute's standards and in the PMBOK. And again, the pushback that I always have with PMI is that's great that you're asking that of individuals. Where are they learning it? How are they learning it? And so to your point, the more that we as professionals can seek out opportunities and ways to develop, not so much necessarily being skilled in project management, but rather an ancillary tool that allow us to be more effective project managers.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend any books on creative problem solving?
So I would. Creative Leadership is an outstanding book. Gerard Puccio, he is the current chair at the International Center for Studies in Creativity. Creative Leadership, Skills That Drive Change. I use that oftentimes in the work when I'm working with organizations. Being on my little shelf here. Yeah, Applied Imagination. Alex Osborne, one of his pinnacle books in there are great. But certainly I would say start with that creative leadership. It will outline the process, outlines a handful of tools, applications, and some real life examples.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today, Teresa.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Lovely to spend time with you. And again, if I can be of assistance to anyone, they can find me on LinkedIn. They can find me projectmanagement.com. They can certainly also then find us at Seminars World. You do great work. We appreciate the support that you're giving all project managers around the world. Thank you.
Oh, well, I love talking to you about this great topic.
Thank you. All right. Have a great day, friends.
That ends another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos.